I'm too busy talking to do talk radio.
That might be me, the fan.
Yeah. Who's doing the intro?
I don't have it up. I think you should do it. You probably have it memorized.
Yeah? You think so?
I can do the first hour.
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
This is Freedom Beans and stuff. It's all good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Freedom Fiends. What do you guys think of the Freedom Fiends? Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. Uh-huh. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with Rejuve.
Rejuve? Oh, is there like a character limit or something?
That might be the character limit. your tweet is too long.
I think we've discovered the character limit of my little helper here, my robot that's going to replace
me. The radio robot?
Yeah. Yeah.
This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yeah. Thanks,
definitely.
Dude. I feel it. It's very calm and relaxed and robotic.
Very measured.
Yeah.
Of a delivery.
I think the Indian lady might do it better. What do you think? Let's ask her.
Yeah.
This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
Statism.
Is it working?
Statism. The Americans have statism, right?
Yeah. Statism.
She calls it anarcho communism, too, which you said sounds like a Mexican wrestler, doesn't it?
It does. Anarcho, the undefeated wrestling champion of the world.
You know,
Mexico.
Asterix Mexico. You know, I like that we got rid of the, like, whoever was breathing into the mic, and it sounded like Darth Vader. And I'm the one on oxygen, but you guys sound like Darth Vader. But I do like that I can hear Davi sipping his coffee, because it's a very important feature. Yeah, it's like, you know, evening coffee chat with the Freedom Fiends.
It is. That's how I roll.
So what happened with Dogecoin? There's an article on, she wrote me today. She wants to interview me about .bit. What is her name? From the cointelegraph.com, Amanda B. Johnson wrote, "White male crypto peddler is fed up with white male crypto peddlers." So basically, the guy who came up with the idea for Dogecoin is upset that there's no government regulation in Dogecoin, and he's upset that he doesn't like libertarians, and he's a white male who doesn't like white males. So, I guess
he's got that white guilt going on.
I guess so, man. Forget this guy.
You know, I went to DogeCon last year, and I learned at DogeCon that the creator of Dogecoin essentially contributed a tweet. That's how it came about. He jokingly said, "Hey, if Doge is a popular meme, there ought to be a Dogecoin." And he was making a joke about all the different kinds of cryptocurrencies in the space. And then someone said, "All right, let's do it." And it got popular without him, and it was developed without him. And I think this is just him sort of realizing the missed opportunity of the name recognition of being the creator of Dogecoin. So I think the lead that they're burying in this article is, hey, this name, this guy, he created Dogecoin, put a face to the name so, you know, he can get some cred. But I'm not going to even commit his name to memory.
Well, this article's not painting him in a good light, though, at all.
Okay, well, I think this is why he's saying these things.
As Nemo Freeman said, "Very riddance, much adios, such douche."
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't care what he has to say, and I never really particularly cared about Dogecoin anyway, but this is an accidental celebrity. That's what this is.
Yeah. I have an idea. You know, basically, so he didn't really do any of the work, and he didn't even work with the programmers, huh? He just said,
I don't think so.
This thing should exist. So, did he get paid off in Dogecoin, or... Yeah, it says he's rich from this. I guess he probably threatened to sue them and demanded Dogecoin, maybe. I don't know. He seems
I don't know the like nitty gritty of who pushed what buttons where, but yeah, my understanding is that he wasn't terribly involved.
Well, by the time Dogecoin came up, it was pretty much like point and click to make a new coin. I mean, there was a guy that was making anybody a coin to their specs for $100. and yeah. and doing a good job with it. Like, you know,
I want more of that.
You'd provide the name, the artwork, and like, you know, you'd pick from one from column A and one from column B about whether it was proof of stake or proof of work, and whether it would have pre-mined coins and what the limit would be on it. And maybe that's how this got made. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This guy looks kind of hipster.
Yeah. He doesn't look really old enough to, I don't know, maybe I'm being ageist that he's young.
He looks just the right age to hate his own demographic.
Oh, I mean, but he doesn't really look, the right age to, it seems to me that the people who, you know, like, there's kind of this whole, like, belief about, you know, 19-year-olds becoming billionaires in computer technologies, and there certainly is some of that, but it really seems to me like the people who really kind of like invent the push-the-envelope technologies tend to be in their 40s or 50s. Like, you know, I don't think Satoshi was 19. He was too, his writing was too, like, worldly and mature and had lived, you know, had been around the block too many times to be that young. Same thing with, like, maybe the people who kind of invented the internet, too. They were all, like, you know, 45-year-old, you know, mathematics professors at MIT and Berkeley and stuff.
I thought that was Al Gore.
Yeah, right. No, Al Gore is to the internet what this Dogecoin guy is to Satoshi.
Yeah.
I don't know if Al Gore even did that much. Maybe, no, I don't know.
He just signed a paper to steal a bunch of money to put some cable down.
Yeah. I read somewhere today that the government creates wealth the way that a tick creates blood.
Nice. Well, politics, many bloodsuckers. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's name is Jackson Palmer, by the way. So he sounds like, I don't know, a painter across with a golfer. That's kind of hip.
It's a guy who drinks a cross between lead paint and lemonade, right?
Explain.
So Jackson Pollock is a painter who's famous for splatting paint on canvases, throwing paint. And I'm actually kind of a fan of Jackson Pollock. And then Arnold Palmer is a golfer who invented the drink of mixing lemonade and iced tea.
If I were going to make up a name to be a computer entrepreneur, I think I'd be Jackson Pollop.
Pollop?
Yes. Kind okay. of the punk rock version. Dude, I am punk as frick. I am like, what I'm doing right now is so much more punk than anything I did in a band when I was, like, you know, getting laid, standing up in alleys outside the gin mills we were playing and things like that, and, like, sleeping on floors for beer and vomiting on stage on heroin on CBGBs. Like, I'm doing talk radio on stations that, like, most of their demographic probably hates half of what we're saying. And I'm doing it with, like, suffering with an oxygen tube in my nose, man. I'm punk. It's that talk radio lifestyle that made me this way. Kids,
there you go.
Parents, don't let your kids try talk radio unless they use Fiend Phone.
Worms.
Yeah. So what else is on the agenda, guys?
Quality radio,
Chandler,
right now.
What do you? It is, man. What do you want to talk about, Chandler?
Oh, I don't know. Popular media. Divey and I were talking about Game of Thrones earlier.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Let's just save that for the second hour stuff. When my voice is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about popular media that Davi and I... So, Chandler, have you checked out Orphan Black?
No, I have not.
Dude, you're insane. Why not?
Well, because I haven't been following up with much of the stuff that's been talked about.
Explain.
It's pretty intriguing. I just got, I think, through season 3. Essentially, they just introduced the trans clone, but it's this idea that...
I didn't like the trans clone. I wanted to punch that guy. He was too cocky. Well,
yeah, it was sort of a stereotype, maybe. I don't know. But it's one actress is playing, like, 10 characters,
like 15.
And it's this plot where there's some genetic experiment that's, like, the main mystery of the show that produced all these clones, but all of the clones have, like, monitors from the corporation who've been following them their whole life, and then when they start discovering each other, they start sort of discovering how their lives have been manipulated and what sort of medical ailments they have and trying to figure out who's the original, and it's a lot about protecting this one of them has a daughter, and that's some kind of miracle because they're all supposed to be sterile.
And, oh, that sounds kind of like a plot for an X-Files episode.
It is kind of like an extended plot for an X-Files episode.
And one of them's on oxygen. Like the really cool hipster science chick constantly has a, you know, tube cannula in her nose. So it helps me relate with the show. And, you know,
My favorite, the science
one. She really is. And, you know, we talked the other day about how, you know, when you become a Christian and become afraid of Satan, you start seeing the number 666 everywhere, even though it was never there anymore or less. And, you know, when you're on oxygen, you see more people on TV and movies on oxygen. This show has more people on oxygen than anything I've ever seen that isn't like ER or a medical show.
See, I didn't even notice.
Oh, there's like 10, there's like 10 characters that are on oxygen at different points in this show, and there's one that's on oxygen like ongoing all the time from like the end of season one through the beginning of season three so far. There's also
there's a lot of involuntary surgery, so that's the reason for a lot of the medical equipment.
There's also I gotta say, there's a scene, and this is not really a, you know, what do you call them, deal breaker, what's the word, spoiler yeah,
spoilers.
There's a scene in either the end of season two or the beginning of season three, you're about to get there, where four of the clones and the gay brother and the daughter dance. It is awesome. I mean, it's like, I've never seen, like, it's amazing from a story point, but it's also, like, it should win a technical, you know, Academy Award or something, this scene, because I've never seen anything so seamless. You know, usually when there's one person playing more than one person.
It's all the same actress.
All the same actress, and they're dancing together, and, like, crossing over each other and touching each other, and there's and it's a really like lighthearted, like family kind of dance with the little kid, and it's cool. And the girl like takes off her oxygen cannula to do it, and then gets tired after a little while, and she's the first one she starts the dance, but she's the first one to stop. But generally when there's an actor playing two people, the way they always did it was like they had to be almost like left and right, full frame, with like the camera lined up. There's always a line. Like they'll find.
There's like a backup. The back of someone's head is on one side of the camera,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Or they'll find the edge of a curtain, or they'll find, you know, like something on the wall that's a vertical line. And they literally, like the way they did this starting 100 years ago was like they would cover one side of the camera and shoot it and then flip it over and cover the other side of the camera and have the person switch sides and make up character. And like, you know, if you look at like adaptation, that's how they do it. But this show like really bends that. Like, you know, they don't have to be lined up with one line. And it's like one person playing four people who are vastly different in appearance. Clone dance scene wins hand down. Man, that wins the Fiend Technical Academy Award there. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
I'm sending you guys some stuff, some source material here. Yeah. So I figured out why Chris Cantwell hates the Fiends.
Why is that?
And why he hates MK Lords. Okay, because you know that that in Porkfest Idol a couple years ago, it was MK against He Who Cannot Be Named, and MK won, and He Who Cannot Be Named was really upset, right?
They won in overtime.
Yeah.
Or she won in overtime.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, but what we didn't talk about was that her prize was lifetime admission to Porkfest. So she has lifetime free admission, and he has a lifetime ban.
Well, that would have been weird. What would they have done if he had won and he was both banned and had lifetime?
I think they'd have to send him $40 every April when the tickets go on sale. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Or maybe he could have appointed an heir.
Ah, someone to go be obnoxious in proxy. Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't realize MK had free admission every year.
I know. She told me that, and I was like, well,
Lottie, really cool
well, Lottie Poo. You know, I had free admission to see Gwar for life because before Gwar, or around the time they started, there was this other band they had called Death Piggy, and the singer was the same in both bands, Dave Brocky. And Death Piggy, I booked them at this tiny little club, this gay bar in Charlottesville called Muldowney's Pub, which was the only place would let us have punk shows in 1982. And he jumped into the audience playing bass while I jumped into the audience at the same time. Somebody had brought some of those soccer bopper things, you know, they were like a big padded fist that kids put on and punch each other back when that was okay. And I had one of those on, and I jumped in the audience and started bopping people on the head with it. It's not painful. It's just fun, you know? And I was bopping people on the head, and we collided at a 45-degree angle, and his bass hit me in the forehead, and I had to be rushed to the hospital and have three stitches. So I got free admission for life to any band he was in, and I went and saw Gwar a bunch of times for free with backstage passes and, like, you know, inner sanctum, go in the dressing room and drink their beer kind of passage. And but Dave Brocky died recently, so I don't get to do that anymore. Thank God I don't have to go see Gwar free anymore.
How does that work? Do you get like a laminated lifetime badge, or do you like get a phone number of a producer who hooks you up for every show you want to
go
to?
I just email them and say, hey, you're going to be in my town. Put me on the list tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I used to listen to a band called Enemy, N-M-E, there's three letters, and their rule was if you got their logo tattooed on your body somewhere, that counted as a lifetime
That's pass. Brilliant. That is brilliant marketing.
People did it.
It should be on your forehead, though.
The photo they had that I had seen, or the person even, but the photo of the person that they used in their flyers had it on the back of their neck like it was a barcode.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there were at least 10 people that had something, some art of my band Bomb tattooed on their body who were not in the band. Everyone in the band had tattoos of something, but like I have on my left arm, I have a big sperm. No, it's a bomb that's like 2 inches in diameter, like a round, you know, 1800s anarchist joke cartoon bomb, like, you know, on
like rock, an Acme bomb.
Rock me and Bullwinkle. Yeah, like Boris Badenoff always has. And well, actually I have one on my chest of Boris Badenoff lighting one of those, and then on my arm I have one of those that the fuse is lit and it's got like 10 sperm swimming to it like it's a bomb. And that was actually on one of our records on the vinyl, like it was on the label on the vinyl, so when the record played it was supposed to spin and the sperms to chase the bomb. But I didn't do back then what I do now. Like now I would have mocked that up. I would have printed it, or even, you know, this is before computers, I would have drawn it and stuck it on some other record and looked at it and see how it spun. But I didn't do that. So it spanned backwards. Like the sperm were coming out of the bomb. So it didn't work.
Slightly mixed metaphor there.
Yeah. We also, on our first record, as a joke, we put "For a Good Time, Call Eddie," and we put our roadie's phone number on the inner groove. You know how you can put messages on the inner groove of the vinyl, of the record? Like carved, not that you hear, but like you can see them if you hold it up to the light.
Okay.
You know, they usually what put like a serial number there or something. I don't know, just for fun. And he got calls.
All right.
He's dead now.
Supposedly the phone number in Better Call Saul is real. When Nacho gives him the matchbook and says, call me when you realize you're in the game, apparently that goes to a real answering machine, and that people called it and left messages, and some of those recorded messages have been used as recorded messages in the show.
Yeah, I was wondering that, because it wasn't a 555 number.
It was a real number.
It's pretty common for studios to do that, but I think there's a law that they have to keep the number active for 10 years or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Or it's a policy of most phone companies. We'll be back. Worms.
Worms.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
LRN.fm needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most.
please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Oh, you? I'll try me. Yeah. It's all good, brother. So what's up, guys?
So we were talking, you had mentioned during the break that you wanted to talk about Better Call Saul, and I think we're all going through withdrawal. I recommended that show to like three different people this week.
Better Call Saul withdrawal.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the cool things about Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul is Vince Gilligan is a writer and producer of both Saul those withdrawal. Shows.
Better yeah. Call Saul withdrawal.
Totally.
It seems like he's kind of the brain behind it.
Yeah, he is. And he was a principal writer for The X-Files,
really?
Which is one of my all-time favorite shows.
I did not know this. That's amazing. Yep. Makes sense, somehow.
He came into it during season two. Like, he started writing a lot of the episodes during season two and producing. And he went right up through till the end. And a lot of the really good episodes, if you look at the wiki page for X-Files and Vince
Gilligan, writing or is he directing too?
He's doing both. I think he started off writing. He just wrote a couple episodes. Like one of the best episodes in season two, it's a kind of goofy, nerdy science episode, and it's called Soft Light. And it's got the guy from that plays Monk, like Shalhoub. Tony Shalhoub, he's the star of that episode. And he wrote that episode, which is, I think, probably the best episode of season two. And then season three, one of the best episodes was Pusher, and he wrote that episode. And then he really started writing and directing a lot of them in season four. And
there's an episode, I didn't know this at the time, and I don't even know if this is his contribution, but it occurred to me when I saw it. It's late in Breaking Bad, after the super lab has blown up, and Hank and some of the other FDA agents are sort of wandering around the wreckage with their flashlights. It totally reminded me of old X-Files episodes because they put some kind of fog in the atmosphere, and they make the X-Files really like pioneered the use of flashlights as a spotlight.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like a lightsaber. Like, they put enough particle in the air that you see this triangle coming off the flashlight.
It's funny because when I was watching that episode, I actually thought that. I was like, oh, this has got kind of an X-Files vibe.
Yeah, it does.
And they're wearing like the, you know, chemical suits. That was not uncommon in X-Files for crash sites
that's
and
true.
Things. I noticed a tip of the hat homage in Breaking Bad that I haven't heard anybody say is the very last scene of Breaking Bad, or maybe it's the second to the last scene of Breaking Bad. It's where Walt is dead in the lab. He goes into the lab to like pet the equipment one last time, you know, like to be among my things that were stolen from me. And he smiles and touches the gauges and pets the side of some big reaction chamber and then lies down and dies. I don't know if that's the last scene, or I think there's a scene after that where Jesse's driving away. And
yes.
I still like doubt, like, the implication is Jesse got off free. I don't think Jesse got off free because his prints are all over that lab. I think they're going to come talk to him, but he's the victim. He might not get in trouble, but the thing I noticed that I haven't heard anyone mention is the overhead scene where Walt is dead and splayed out, and you see the cops all coming in mass with their guns pointed from left going to right, and it's very similar to the last scene in Taxi Driver, or actually the second to the last scene in Taxi Driver before the denouement of him rewriting the letter to the girl's parents. And, you know, in Breaking Bad, there's the denouement of Jesse driving away, but it's very similar. And like in Taxi Driver, they talked about how they even had to like cut a track in the ceiling of that apartment room to like make room for the dolly for the camera. But it's very, very, very similar, and I think it's an intentional nod to the classic film Taxi Driver with De Niro.
Did Vince Gilligan work on Taxi Driver, or you think he was just influenced by it?
I think Vince Gilligan would have been three when Taxi Driver came out.
Is it Gillian or Gilligan? There's
Gilligan.
A G in it.
It's Gillian, is it?
Gilligan.
Gilligan? Gilligan's Island.
With a G, like the island?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is Vince
I've heard
Gilligan.
It both ways.
Yeah. Well, I'll find out how old he would have been when Taxi Driver came out. I don't think he would have been old enough to have been on it.
Well, maybe it's an homage to an influence. A lot of filmmakers
do
that.
Yeah. Vince Gilligan was born in 1976. Taxi Driver came out in 1976.
So he could have done it.
Yeah, it's possible. Oh, wait, no. I'm being dyslexic. He was born in 67. He totally could have done it. He was nine.
There you go.
I mean, they had like 11-year-old prostitutes on that show. Why couldn't they have, you know, a 9-year-old third assistant cameraman?
Sure.
He was the key grip.
Yeah, the assistant prop master.
Yeah.
He got to
probably held the boom mic.
Yeah. for the prostitutes, because he was about their size.
So you were talking about Better Call Saul's intro being deliberately poor quality.
Yeah.
So I sort of thought this was intentional. Like, to me, I didn't get that it was supposed to be.
You thought it was obvious.
Saying. Well, what I thought it was sort of making it look old, like it was sort of like the way that film quality was in the 70s.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's got that retro look.
It actually has a retro look, but it also kind of has a like public access television retro look. Like the titles are done with what's called a video toaster, which was like a really old analog way of putting text on screen. It's the same thing. They use a video toaster or simulate one at the legal warning at the beginning of South Park. You know, don't do anything you see here. This could get you deported or killed or jailed. That's it. And it's got the blinking cursor at the end of the sentence. That's a video toaster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the
That it was imitating his crappy TV, low-budget TV commercials.
Well, I kind of did get that, but I just thought that was a sign of the times. I didn't understand that it was supposed to also convey his budget. that Better Call Saul, that Saul Goodman, not necessarily AMC, but that Saul Goodman, the character, is producing low-budget sort of garage band commercials.
I did not get that
until
this interview with Vince Gilligan. And and basically the thing is, I didn't really know this, but now it makes a lot of sense now that I hear it, is that the trend in TV now, in the new kind of TV that we like, where TV is really good and hip and weird and does things it could never do, which is like the influence of cable, actually, and the internet, you know, of Netflix and stuff. But it's like the intro, you know, the like 30 seconds or minute of kind of like intro at the top of the show, or sometimes there's a cold open scene and then the intro comes up. And, you know, there's something that Selby said in an interview that has always been his thing going back to the 70s. And I think he influenced this in TV. He said, when you're writing a story, always begin the first scene with a crime in progress. And Selby was doing that in like 1966 in his books. And that's become really, really common. Like, every show we like, pretty much every episode begins with a crime in progress.
Yeah, that's how you lead into
it. Yeah, that's how it sucks you in. You know, I mean, Requiem for a Dream does it. Requiem for a Dream begins with, what is the line? Harry stole his mother's TV set again. You know, that's the first line in that book. Again. That's really dark.
Better Call Saul begins with Saul at the donut shop or whatever it is.
Which is
Cinnabon.
A crime in progress. He's basically put himself into, it's an ongoing crime in progress.
Only in that he's on the lam.
Yeah, he's up. Yeah, so it's a quiet crime in progress. But
I guess so.
Yeah. That movie, what's the movie we like? Strange Days begins with the most bizarre crime in progress ever.
Really is the perfect example. It's multiple crimes in progress.
People robbing a restaurant at gunpoint with everybody in it, and then like running up on the roof chased by cops, and then someone trying to jump to the next building and falling and dying, and it's filmed from his point of view because he's doing it to like provide. He's a content provider. He's being filmed through his brain. Yeah. So,
well, I noticed the X-Files does that too, and it's usually from the, what is it called, the protagonist, like the villain of the episode, and it's usually the first scene is like some crime that villain is committing, and that's what, you know.
X-Files,
I mean, that's
begins with a crime against nature in progress. Usually,
it's a cliche now. I mean, that's Six Feet Under. That's Bones. That's
I think Selby,
pretty much any of
I think
these
Selby
shows
invented that. Or popularized it. He's really influential. I mean, he never, you know, I mean, his first
almost
book was,
any crime show.
Yeah, yeah. His first book was a bestseller, but I mean, for one thing, he vastly influenced Jerry Stahl, who was the writer on the first, one of the main writers on the first four seasons of CSI. And CSI has influenced everything on television, and it is the, you know, CSI is the most popular TV show worldwide ever ongoing.
I'm not surprised.
I did not know that.
You're whoever breathing into the mic. Stop breathing.
I'm working on it.
A lot of people want me
it's
to stop
it's
breathing.
It's an addiction.
I know. Man. Yeah. So anyway, so the scenes, the beginnings of Breaking Bad, like, I didn't notice until, like, the second or third episode that they were different each time. I thought it was just, I thought it was, like, each one was going to kind of be a little, like, hint about what happens in that episode, but they're not. They're totally not.
No. I picked up on that in, like, the second or third episode when I noticed Jesse's phone, and then I started paying attention. But, yeah, there's no correlation, really, between... except that I've heard them say that they thematically get more grotesque. Like, I think in the first episode or two, it's like a woman is ashing in the justice scales.
Yeah.
And then
there's the matchbooks in the toilet stall. And
well, the first one is pretty
dire.
They
get grosser.
The first one is like out on the desert, and the first episode is the one where one of the first episodes is the one where he's taken out at gunpoint on the desert. That's why I thought they were like little snippets of what happened, but they're not.
That's kind of what I thought too at first, but I don't know, they kind of strayed from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
I'm still waiting for them to like release do whole seasons on Netflix. I really think that's the way.
I really think they should. I really think that template with Netflix and House of Cards, I think everybody should imitate that, because that's really how people consume stuff now. Like, I discovered, I discovered Orphan Black, fortunately, after there were 2+ seasons up, and got to have a spree in one sitting this weekend.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I haven't heard you guys talk about House of Cards. I just started the third season.
It's over.
About 8 episodes.
We talked
in.
About
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I know.
We've talked about it 3 times. Once after each season, after we watch binge
watched
watch all
it.
Of, yeah.
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 Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
It's true. The robot knows what's up.
Woof. 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 Meow.
Yeah. So you want to talk about how great TV is and what a great man I am for turning everyone on to TV? You know, here's the thing. Yeah, because you, what did you say, man, during the break about TV?
Well, I want to blame you for getting me hooked on all these TV shows, because I, for the last 3 years, I haven't really watched much TV. And after many of the recommendations on The Fiends, I found myself binge-watching shows.
Yeah, I can't really take credit for that. What I can say is The Fiends are kind of like the community bulletin board for good weird TV, because people always send me suggestions, because I've talked a lot about how I have this set criteria for what I need in TV, and it's basically like, or movies, is basically like, first of all, I really like if there's a lot of seasons and episodes already up so I can binge watch. Second of all, I like stuff that takes place somewhere between, like, you know, 50 years ago and 40 years in the future, takes place on Earth, does not have a huge cast, has a good ensemble cast where, like, everyone's kind of equally important as characters, and unless it could be science fiction, but it can't really involve any magic. Although they say that advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. But, you know, like, a really good example is Orphan Black. Like, basically, if you accept one unbelievable premise or hard-to-believe premise, yes, there are human clones on Earth alive right now, then the rest of it is not even fiction. The rest of it is just drama. And, you know,
fantasy. Wait, that's fiction?
It is fiction.
I don't know, man. I've met people that I could have sworn are clones.
It's pretty much universally illegal to clone humans, but there could be, you know, multi-corporations doing it, or there could be some billionaire somewhere who has a lab set up in his basement doing it with some scientists, because...
Well, it's not science fiction, it's history fiction, right? Like, it is scientifically plausible, it just hasn't happened yet.
I think it might have happened. I think that the reason some billionaire would have to do it... I mean, put it this way, like, you know, if I were a billionaire and a lung transplant would, like, cure my illness overnight, which it's likely it would, and I may end up on the lung transplant list, which, you know, is generally between, like, a year and 5 years to get a lung, because it's not first come, first serve, and it's not even necessarily, like, whoever needs it the most. It's who will benefit from the most. But actually, I might score pretty high in that, because I don't do any drugs, and I've stopped smoking. And, you know, I'm willing to, like, work with doctors and do what they say and take medical advice, which, you know, there's a lot of you, there's people that, like, need organ transplants more, but they're, like, still sneaking drinks or something, or they're still sneaking cigarettes. So, you know, those people get lower on the list, even if they need it more. But, you know,
well, you'll be higher on the list too, because you're a Fiends host, and we need more Fiends.
No, but here's the thing. It's like, you know, if I could clone somebody and have their lungs transplanted into me, I mean, it'd be an ethical dilemma, but somebody would probably do it. Some dying billionaire would probably do it, you know?
He'd probably clone himself. There's a movie, I think it's called The Island, and in the beginning you think that it's a distant future, and it kind of feels like Brave New World or something, or it feels like the episode of Black Mirror where everybody's on the bicycles watching television all day long. And then you come to find out that it's actually present day, and these people are in this weird sort of, like, concentration camp, and they're all clones of rich people to harvest organs for if they ever need them.
It's also been the plot of either CSI or Law and Order or something, where there is a rich billionaire, like, you know, cloning. What he's basically doing is, like, he has some doctor who's implanting, like, cloned embryos with his DNA into the wombs of, like, women who are in comas but otherwise healthy to use as incubators.
That's been done on the X-Files.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. The reason I'm really good
hasn't been done on the X-Files.
X-Files did it. The reason I'm really good at recommending TV is I never gave up TV. Like, my whole life, I've had people who are like, you know, I'm like, hey, you see that on TV the other night? They're like, oh, I don't have a TV. I got rid of my TV. And I'm like, you idiot. Why would you do that? You know, I'm just selective about what I watch. I've never bought the, like, almost communist belief that a lot of people have, especially in Frisco, of, like, I got rid of my TV. I'm more evolved than you. No, I'm more evolved than them because I embrace the technology and use it sparingly.
Worms.
Well, I do both. I reject the TV and embrace the television show, so I don't know where that puts me.
Yeah.
I got a 50-inch TV. Worms, worms. I like my technology.
Worms, worms. Worms, worms. Worms, worms. Worms, worms.
Yeah. Be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends out of this year of the market.
Worms. Worms, worms.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
We're starting from the very beginning of the briefing.
Yeah.
I squirted today for the first time in 2 weeks. It was glorious.
Man, shut up, robot. This thing's becoming
sentient. I'm not sure you can say that on the radio.
Why?
I squirted today. FCC regulations apply to robots.
It was glorious.
I'm just talking about.
So are
my, I'm feeling
are robots subject to human? Are robots subject to human? Community standards, or do robots have their own community standards?
I think whatever he says, I can get in trouble for.
Okay.
There might
be certain combinations of ones and zeros that
the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion.
Silence, a robot is speaking.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPAR 2017i.
Oh, see, it ran out of, it does have a character limit.
Silly robot.
LibPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah, then there's more.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIP con no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Wait, he got it right the second time. See, he's learning. Let's try that again. He's becoming sentient.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIP con no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
So apparently the Freedom Fiends have a new fan named Ardent Crayon. And what did you say about that name, Tavi?
It means he's a very passionate stick of wax, or a very devout stick of wax, colored stick of wax. What is ardent? Means like an ardent supporter. Absolute. Means like a true believer, yeah, right? True.
Yes, he's a true crayon.
So he's absolutely a crayon.
Yeah, well, here's what he tweeted, and tweeted it to us, and he followed me and Chandler today, and did he follow you, Davi?
I don't know.
I think he's a robot, and he's stalking us, but here's what he tweeted.
If you want a picture of the future, imagine a robot voice saying, because government forever.
Which is a takeoff on 1984, I think, where they say, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stepping on a human face forever. But
yeah.
So last night I was just like everything from Libertarians Against Humanity, I was just following
because government.
With that.
Because government. Because government.
So, you know, I just recently watched the 1984, and it still holds up as a good movie.
I watched just two or three of them, and I've seen all of them. There's also a couple Brave New Worlds, and I've seen all three of them. Him and I did a whole show on all of them. And then
the Brave New World with Bud Cort is my favorite, because Bud Cort is one of my favorite actors ever.
Well, that's one of my favorite movies ever, was Harold and Maude, but that's just because I'm broken. But someone recommended that to me the other day, like, hey, you should check out this movie called Harold and Maude. And I'm like, I saw that in the theater when I was 13. What are you talking about, dude? And I've seen it 50 times since then.
Yeah.
Kids today.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
They should do a remake.
Yeah, I know.
It would be terrible if they did a remake. I don't think Hollywood is capable of doing that kind of movie anymore.
Well,
no. These damn kids today.
Well, Demolition Man is kind of all those movies wrapped together and then turned into a comedy somehow.
These damn kids today.
I don't think Demolition Man is a remake of Harold and Maude in any way.
It's a remake of Brave New World and
oh yeah, okay.
And 1984. I mean, to the point where like the main character's last name is Huxley, you know? Oh, that's kind of interesting too, in some of the names in that they picked are interesting in and what is it? The movie we like, the show we like, Black.
Orphan Black.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cop, the black cop, Beth's partner, kind of like one of the main heroes. Yeah. His name is Art Bell. Like the conspiracy, the guy
is
who
really?
Yeah, the guy who invented conspiracy theory talk late night radio, like what we're doing now. Yeah.
Art Weird. Bell.
And then the scientist who heads the mega corporation that's, you know, making the drones or the clones is named God, what is his name?
It's like Tinkerly or something.
Leakey. His name is Aldous Leakey. Yeah. And Aldous is Aldous Huxley's first name. You know, Huxley, the author yeah. of Brave New World. And then Leakey was a scientist. Was he the monkey guy? I can't remember.
Leakey. I don't know. I don't know the name Leakey.
Louis Leakey was, let's see, a paleoanthropologist whose importance establishing human evolutionary development. He played a major role in creating organizations for future research. I don't know. The picture of him here is an old picture of somebody examining a skull. Oh, he basically proved Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. So that would make sense that the drone guy's name is Aldous Leakey. I kind of like how Aldous cool. Leakey dies. Did you get there yet, or is that a spoiler alert?
Yeah, I've gotten there.
It's pretty funny.
Kind of fantastic.
Man. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about like bad accidental gun use in Walking Dead. And you said that that's how Beth gets shot, and I was like, I'm not even sure that's what happens there. But this is absolutely bad, unsafe gun use. You know, and guns don't really go off. Modern guns don't really go off when you smack them on a surface like that. But if you have your finger on the trigger, like most non-gun users do, they probably will.
Yeah. I like all the references to the Island of Dr. Moreau, too.
I know. Yep, which is
There's an old book about clones. Copy of it floating yeah. around. It's hybrids. That book's about
weird animal
hybrids of humans and animals. Yep.
Creepy book, man.
Which they kind of do in the show too. Like there was that guy with the tail, and there were other sort of body mod people.
I got the impression that the tail was done as an adult, not congenital.
Yeah, they called it a surgical enhancement. So. I don't quite know how that works.
Yeah,
maybe you stretch it or something.
Like, it's kind of when everyone gets bored of like, you know, lip discs and whatever the ear discs, they get that, you know.
These damn kids yeah. and their tails today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me, you know, the whole Neolution or whatever, the whole body mod culture in the nightclub in the show. It reminds me of what some of the anarcho transhumanists were talking about at the anarchist book fair. I wasn't really clear on what anarcho transhumanism is. So transhumanism, I thought, was the idea that you would convert consciousness into silicon and make a computer brain.
Like in that X-Files where the guy goes out to like the camper that has the T1 line going to it, which like at the time it was like, wow, a T1 line. I'm like, I have that in my house now, you know, I have two of those basically, but it was impressive back then.
More of what anarcho-transhumanism is in favor of the right to alter your body in any way, shape, or form you see fit, whether it's aesthetic or technological, which, you know, so many of these things are just subsumed under...
Today. These damn so kids and their tails today.
Yeah,
exactly. So many of these things are subsumed under voluntarism or anarchy anyway. Like, how could you be an anarchist of any kind and not believe that a person has a right to modify their body?
Because they want to go to the state and get permission, probably. I don't know. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm all for all of it, but I've always thought that, like, putting anything in any body orifice is fine. And, like... Gays don't creep me out at all, but people who get so-called sex changes kind of creep me out.
Yeah,
I never understood that.
Just have sex with men, dude.
Well, there's that whole culture.
I'm going to have to disagree with you guys on this one.
About just have sex with men?
No, that it's something to be creeped out about. So, little known fact, I'm named after hermaphrodite. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. The person I'm named after has Klinefelter syndrome, which means that he was born with ambiguous genitalia. His name's David Strachan. He lives in San Francisco. He's the guy that introduced my parents before I was born. And, he was made surgically male at birth and then underwent a female puberty. And so doctors decided to load him up with hormones. And so lo and behold, he has a male body, but a female attraction to men. And so, I mean, it's not quite the same as transgender, but
today. These damn kids and their hormones today.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Is it Davi or Davi?
Either is correct.
Ben Stone says Davi.
Davi is technically more correct. Like, there should be an accent over the I, but I actually say it Davi more.
All right, let's get off of this creepy topic. I will let you believe what you want to believe and what your name says.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so, but speaking of...
These damn kids and their hormones today.
Okay, speaking of the man and machine melding together, the guy who plays Dr. Aldous Leakey... I'll bet you have no idea and will be astonished when I tell you what that actor is mainly known for.
I know where he's from. He's from Honey, Hedrum. I Shrunk the Kids.
No, he's Max Headroom also.
Well, what? He's also the fisherman in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, but yeah, he's Max Headroom too. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
I like that guy. He's cool. It's a good choice weird. For that role, too.
He kind of looks like John Malkovich. That's what I thought it was at first glance, but within seconds, I was sure it wasn't.
Yeah, John Malkovich is too wide. That guy's
He's also too famous. I mean, that's the thing too about I would almost put this into my thing of what I like in sequential media is no stars. Although it's not really a rule, it's just kind of what happens because cable, you're paying for it anyway. They don't have to sell you into watching it by putting a star in it. So they just get really good actors. That's the trend these days. I mean, to the point where, like, it's kind of weird when they reuse one. You know, like, that's Nacho. That dude's Nacho. Why is Nacho being such a puss-puss, you know?
Yeah.
He's really being a puss-puss.
Well, where a lot of people kind of make their careers now, starting off in cable, too.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the guy that I wish that they had cast as Mr. Freeze instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well,
that was such a horrible movie.
I don't know what that is.
Batman.
It's the second Batman with George Clooney and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was just the most terrible Batman ever.
And it had Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
These damn kids as the Riddler. And their bats today. These damn kids and their bats today.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey as the Riddler was okay, I thought.
Yeah, I did too.
But
the whole movie was just wrong.
Oh, and then who was Two-Face? Two-Face was somebody else who I thought was...
Oh, it was...
These damn kids and their bats today. These damn Tom kids and their bats today.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face.
Which
and
I thought
he
was
good too,
good.
But they were all so over the top.
An Archo communist Sicilian have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children. An Archo communist Sicilian have the logic of tiny, small, little, girly man children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the thing, it was like the, like, rollerblade ice skating battle scenes. It was really kind of stupid. The neon gangs with their glow-in-the-dark face paint.
Well, it reminded me of the kind of slapstick comedy of The Mask. It seemed less like Batman and more like
I don't
like
know
the
what
mask.
That is.
Really?
The Mask with Jim Carrey.
No, I got there too late. I was talking about the Batman stuff.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know what
which was
is.
Loki, incidentally.
Yep.
The demon?
The trickster god.
The trickster god, which was sort of out of place because they were trying to say it was some sort of like African tribal deity, but they're picking on this like Norse trickster god, but not the Marvel Loki, the real Loki.
Yep.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
He's Loki.
He is.
You're listening to
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow.
Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
And he's Loki.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yep. That's for Lou.
Get the chop shop rooster.
All right, so we're going to talk about this lady, this black sovereign citizen lady. Now, here's the thing. Like, sovereign citizens are generally, like, crazy white guys who are about my age. And but this lady's, like, black and 30 and sassy and feisty. Maybe she's 40, but she's stylish. I like her.
She's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, she's a good-looking woman. And she filed in federal court a filing called, let me clean this up for radio, F This Court and Everything Connected to It, or something like that. No,
everything it stands
if it's
for.
If it's a court document, shouldn't you sort of legally be allowed to talk about it on the radio? That seems odd to have to censor something that's a court document.
But she actually censored it. She, in the filing, like, put F asterisk CK. She was very polite about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to just have
you. Which is kind of counter.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, it's funny, though. I thought about interviewing this lady. Oh, Davi, turn down your headphones. I thought about interviewing this lady because she lives in Pensacola and we're on the radio in Pensacola. And I think she'd really get a kick out of that. But I don't know.
You can have MK do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna probably send her this recording. But and then she'll probably want to be on. But I just don't like doing interviews, man. They break my flow. But you know, when Aunt Flo comes to town and I want to criticize the government, what else can I do, man? There's nothing left to do but smile, smile, smile. So I would like you guys to read a little bit of this amazing document. And I hope this lady doesn't get in trouble for this. I kind of think, like, they're going to have to do something about it or, you know, everybody will file these things. But, and she does say to the judge,
yeah, but this,
like,
is nothing new, man. This, yeah, this stuff has been, like, in the sovereign citizen and 14th Amendment, you know, state citizen, whatever movement, this stuff has been out for a long time. Yeah. She's not really.
I think she should maybe be a Freedom Fiends co-host because she's also a fan of Jeffrey Tucker, if you look at her Facebook page. And she's also a fan of the TV show Frasier, which nobody in the world likes anymore except Ben Stone and I, because, you know, there aren't that many shows where the hero is an arrogant talk radio host, and I dig it because I'm one of those.
I love that actor, but I love him as Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons.
He's great.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And the guy
that's
who plays grammar. His brother is the guy who plays his brother.
His brother on The Simpsons.
Right. Yeah.
So read some of this awesome thing by my new heroine, my new female hero. What's her name?
I've got it open. Can I just, like, start anywhere in the document?
Yeah, her name is
Jada Clark, and it's also Jason Joseph Clark, who is her husband.
It's on behalf of him. She's prison.
She's Baby Clark.
No, Baby Clark is her son.
Baby Clark.
No, Baby Clark is her son, who's no longer a baby. Like, he's 5 or 6, I think, but the judge referred to him as baby, and she yells at him in this. I don't know the full story. I think her husband's in prison, and she was arrested or stopped by the police on her way to the prison, and it had an AK-47 and a 45 pistol on her, and they charged her with, like, I don't know, like, trying to, you know, physically break him out of prison by force, which I don't think she was going to do. I think she just had the weapons on her. But this lady is so awesome. Will you guys just take turns reading this popcorn style? And
clean
it up on the fly for radio.
I'll go ahead. So, to F This Court and Everything It Stands For. As of Wednesday, April 15th, 2015, I am the recipient of the order dated 3/31/2015, where the despicable Judge Willis B. Hunt Jr. has the audacity to attempt to dismiss this case upon fallacious and irrelevant contentions that are without merit, of which he is absolutely aware. Firstly, Jason is my husband, and I have stated...
Oh, yeah, because the judge said it called him her boyfriend or something at some point.
Right. As I have stated, you...
A-hole. It says A-shoal. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, she's just censoring, sort of.
Yeah.
And my son is no longer an infant. He has grown into a strong, extremely intelligent, beautiful little boy. Don't you ever again in your mother something life attempt to disrespect me, my family, or our status again. Keep our names out of your unworthy mouth, you old impotent geezer. And no, Jason did not sign this complaint. So what the F what? Is that really the best argument you can come up with after many pages I have presented to this court as to why you cannot allow the matter to progress? LOL.
Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Tama Jada Clark is awesome.
Okay, stop there. We'll read more when we get back. Thank you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink. Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink.
All right, so we are reading this awesome lady's filing.
Screed?
Screed. Well, screed to the government, filed through the government system, so it's it goes on her permanent record and on the government's permanent record. So read some more. It's awesome.
I bet she's very glad of that.
I'm glad, too.
You want to keep going, or you want me to pick it up?
Yeah.
I'll read a couple more pages, then you can go for it.
Okay.
So we left off. What about the 100-plus...
Impotent geezer? No. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What about the 100-plus pages of valid legal contentions that have been presented by plaintiffs before this court? You don't want to delve into those, do you? You don't want the American people to know about the fraud your something is helping pull on them. Ain't that right? You disgust me. And you mean to tell me that a mother cannot bring suit on behalf of her own child? And no one finds that the least bit strange. This is what people think freedom and unalienable rights look like. God help us. Lord help us all. This court takes judicial notice of blah, 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 blah. Yep. Whatever. That's right. I had a cocked and fully loaded AK-47 rifle as well as a 45 caliber pistol. What's your point? And no, I was never convicted of anything. But you know what? They can go right ahead and try to convict me if they want to. I don't give a damn. This whole system is a joke. The United States of America has collectively and individually been politically and legally overthrown by foreign opportunists and domestic sellouts like you. Mitchell County officials will get their feelings hurt if they even try me. I'm not playing with you or anyone else. F you all. How about that? Also, you genius, I never stated that I am a citizen of any nation. Don't try to twist my words. I said that my family and I are the posterity of those who conquered this land and have thus inherited it from them, and that you, citizens of the United States, as defined by the 14th Amendment, here we go, to the U.S. Federal Constitution in 1868, have no rights to anything here. I say we are Floridian Americans, but our lawful state government has been overthrown by the insurgent federal citizens, United States, citizens of the United States, like you. And now that 99.9% of Americans are ignorant as to our true history, you traitors have tricked them all into identifying themselves as federal citizens, and as you, what, think this means that you will get away with something? No, Absolutely not. All the people need is a proper education, free of propaganda and lies. And I'm working on that. See attachment A entitled Why Most Americans Do Not Inherently Owe Federal Income Taxes. Let me know if you want to write the introduction to my next publication. There are many more to come. All right, man, take it.
Look here, old man. When I told you, quote, I am justice, I meant it. It took me about 1 month to study the history of the world and to learn the history and inner workings of American jurisprudence. Fast. Literally. I wonder if he means literally, literally, or figuratively.
Well, the word literally means it
like Archer does.
Yeah, I was born to do this here. Don't you know that your FBI and CIA have been trying to recruit me since grade school? LOL. But your unscrupulous they're unscrupulous losers like you. So it won't be happening. Instead, I will educate the people, and hopefully one day, if we are lucky, they will rise up against you oppressive, lying traitors and hang you all for the crime you have committed against us all. What you think? Because you sit up there in that little black robe hiding behind the ignorance of the masses,
she
like the little bees
we all
that
think.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Like the little bees that anybody gives a damn about you or what you have to say. Well, just in case you haven't noticed, I couldn't give two F's about you and what you have to say. F you, old man. You're a joke. Awesome. Your court's a joke. You take it up the et cetera and suck on the et cetera. LOL. For the last time, we have not asserted any civil rights pursuant for, I think there's a particle here that's missing. For the last time, we have not asserted any civil rights pursuant to 42 U.S. Code something 1983.
United States Code.
As that particular federal code section applies specifically to federal citizens only. We are not federal citizens. Answer me this, genius. If the original states were in existence before the federal government, with their own constitutional provisions for protection of their citizens' unalienable human rights, then why would state citizens need to claim protection for their rights under the federal constitution? They don't. That makes no sense at all. and by extension, the UN provisions for universal human rights, but I lost my place. All rights claimed under 42. What does this little ampersand sign mean? Do you know what that means?
It's legally
42 U.S. Like code 1983 paragraph section. It's probably section 1983 are those of federal citizens exclusively. Further, your stupid assertions regarding federal civil rights and their respective statutes of limitations is flawed in this. It's not applicable and is outright stupid. In addition, I like the idea that your law does not apply on the grounds of stupid. In addition, any law person worth his salt would know about and respect the legal principle concerning domicile, which dictates that you cannot apply the Williams versus the City of Atlanta 794 Fahrenheit? What do these symbols mean? Some case to us. The plaintiffs.
We gotta ask Randy. Randy sent me this, though. Randy was shocked. Like, you know, his feeling was basically the same as mine. Like, he's an attorney. He hates the legal system. He's an anarchist. He's a libertarian. He didn't think she did anything wrong by doing this and probably dug it. I can't speak for him, but I dig it.
She's very well versed.
Yeah, I dig it. I just don't think that any of these kind of maneuverings get anything done, but I don't know if that's the goal here. I think the goal here is to say, look here, you impotent old man. I hope you die soon. She says that in here.
Yep.
Yep. Keep going.
So you cannot apply Williams versus the City of Atlanta to us, the plaintiffs, because the parties to that case are domiciled in the District of Columbia, being that they are federal citizens of the United States federal government. Our domicile is right here in Florida. You are an idiot.
You know, there's a Twitter channel called Florida Man, which is all like, you know, headlines like Florida Man eaten by a gator while trying to mix meth in his pants. You know, that kind of headline. I think this lady needs her own Twitter channel devoted to her by someone else, just called Florida Woman.
She's just Florida about Woman,
her.
Yeah.
Just about here.
You then end your effery by stating effery. That the case... The case is dismissed, quote, for good cause and in the absence of opposition. However, you have not shown any good or legal valid cause, and you know it. There are no applicable legal there is no applicable legal basis for your assertion, old man. All of your arguments are frivolous.
Isn't it applicable?
You have presented...
Yes, applicable.
What did I say?
Well, I see. It's, I say applicable, but either's good, I think.
All right.
Apples and oranges.
You have presented federal law. You have presented federal rights and laws to defeat unalienable human rights and laws that supersede them both. What a shameful and stupid joke you are. Also, we have property and flawlessly opposed, rebutted. We have properly and flawlessly opposed, rebutted, and defeated the 60-plus papers of irrelevant and inapplicable contentions defendants have attempted to levy against us, but you don't even acknowledge that, huh? What an... I don't know if I can say this word. I'm going to skip it.
A garden implement.
What a garden implement.
You could say
ho. H-O-E. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? If there are... It's not an FCC violation, and, you know, there are probably stations and listeners would be upset if we said that in the afternoon, but, like... If your kids are listening to the radio at 3 a.m, you're a bad parent. You have worse problems than us. So go on.
The court has undoubtedly been shown unprecedented favor to defendants, has been showing unprecedented favor to defendants, had not said one word to us, the plaintiffs, since the filing of the original complaint more than 9 months ago, and now states that there are no that there was no opposition to defendants' motion to dismiss. What about the hundreds of pages of proper rebuttals and defenses that plaintiffs presented to the court? You've just completely disregarded them all, huh? I suppose you did the same thing in civil action number, et cetera, didn't you? You B. You want to take it, Chandler?
Yeah, don't worry. I take it all as a compliment because I'm well aware that the court has not spoken to me because it cannot defeat my legal arguments. So it runs and cowers like a panic-stricken hoe that has stolen money from her black-handling pimp. Just for the record. Back-handling pimp.
Backhanding.
Just for... Back-handing.
Black-handling? That's racist.
Just for the record, you are a hoe. This court is a hoe, and I will backhand you both.
You can't handle the hoes.
Wasting my time. Let me ask you, do you really think I ever believed this court would give me a fair shot? Ha! No, I'm too intelligent for that. Just know that this entire proceeding has served the purpose for which it was intended, and you played right into it in the exact way that I intended for you to, like the dumb hoe that you are. The federal government was not created to replace the state governments by any means. It was created to tend to all matters that fell without the sovereignty of any one particular state. After having been oppressed by the King of Great Britain, is that what the Founding Fathers did? They went through hell and fought a war for independence just to relinquish their citizens to the federal government and set it up to be more oppressive than the King of Great Britain could ever have been.
See, I don't think Great Britain's so great. I really don't. I also don't think the Founding Fathers are so great, and I also don't think they are a homogenous whole. Some of them were very liberty-minded, and some were not. Although the ones that were more liberty-minded also like owned people, which I don't think really is a good...
Of them did.
Yeah, but you know, it's like people say, well, it was the style of the day. If it were the style of the day to own people, I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. So
me neither.
Screw those guys. Screw, they were hoes, man.
After having been wait.
They were stupid, impotent old men.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
All right.
We'll be back with more of this wonderful filing. When we get back from this trip to the market. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Tama Jada Clark is awesome.
So we're reading Tama Jada Clark's legal filing. F this court and everything it stands for. Something like that. Who's going to finish out the show reading it? So go ahead, guys.
You want to go ahead, Chandler?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so we left off and she was talking about the founding lawyers. In fact, the people were so weary of something like this happening that is the very reason that the Federalist Papers were written, to convince the peoples of the several states that a weak and limited central Republican government to loosely hold them together was a good idea. Looks like the people were right to be wary of a federal, oversized, oppressive central government. I mean, look at this mess. The U.S. federal government is out of control. The federal government currently taxes the people exponentially, more than the British king could have ever dreamed of doing. And the people's human rights are being violated faster than you can say the phrase, Willis B. Hunt Jr. is a B. I mean, I am not a retard that you're going to convince that these brilliant men intended for the federal government to wield power.
Brilliant men meaning founding fathers?
Apparently.
All right.
yeah. I don't know.
Come on, guys.
Sorry,
act like you're on live radio here.
I had to switch between pages here to hit the
cough
button.
Come on, son. All right. Read.
This is not freedom, you jack something. This is slavery, worse than in the history of the world has ever seen. Any idiot can take a look into the history of American jurisprudence through studying congressional records, U.S. Supreme Court cases.
Speak up like you're on radio, son. Speak up like you're on radio, son.
You're speaking up. I just felt like saying that.
To realize that these United States of America have been
speak
overthrown.
Up like you're on radio, son.
The burp was for these United States.
The American people, due to their own negligent or neglect of civil duty and responsibility to educate themselves and their children, have allowed this to happen. I say that all of this to you, Mr. Hunt. I don't give a damn about you or anything you have to say. You are a castrated coward and a disgrace to these United States of America. Fortunately for us all, you are an old age and presumably nearing the inevitable death that awaits all impotent old geezers
so
like yourself.
I buried a lead earlier. I said that Randy England sent this to me and did not disagree with it, was just shocked. So basically, Randy England is one of our co-hosts. He's a practicing attorney, and he's a former state prosecutor. And he also is one of the few attorneys I know who believes attorneys should not need licensure. And, you know, he also agrees with me pretty much that most of the fiends agree that sovereign citizen machinations never work or rarely work or aren't worth trying to do if you think they're going to work. But they sure are fun to read. And this lady's a lot smarter than most people who do them. So.
And I think that was the point of it. She's well aware, as she stated in this document, that they're not going to acknowledge any of it.
I mean,
she's telling them how it feels.
Nobody's going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I guess now that you said I'm an impotent old man who should die, I see your side of the argument, you know. But she still rocks, and I really, my hat's off to her. So read some more.
She breathes life into the sovereign
citizen. Speak up like you're on radio, son.
Yep.
So, all right, where do we leave off? She was wishing him to
die.
It was old geezer.
Yes.
Jump in here, Dobby. Impotent old geezers like yourself with a one-way ticket to hell, which is good. That's exactly where a treacherous, lying, spineless like yourself deserves to be for the rest of eternity. Burn. Lastly, I will be posting the entirety of these court proceedings online and disseminating them amongst the general population for the people to see this disgrace. You control nothing. You are nothing. You can do nothing. F you, die. For the unrepresented plaintiff, signed Wednesday, April 15th, 2015.
Good timing, guys.
There you go.
Yep.
So is that redemption in the third act, laughing at the system?
Yes.
That's great.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah.
Well, we're...
Tama Jada Clark is awesome. Tama Jada Clark is awesome.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
So, yeah, we'll have to talk to her soon.
Tomorrow night's going to be Davi and myself and young Nick Hazelton, the 16-year-old yak farmer who knows more about Austrian economics than anybody, than you. You, the listener.
Than the average Cards Against Humanity player.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Worms.
Worms.